Well, this weekend, the eyes of Europe will be on Galway as the city and county's year as European Capital of Culture officially gets underway. Although tonight we are aware that organisers and audiences alike will be keeping an eye on the weather forecast, as there is an orange weather warning in place for Galway between 1 and 6pm tomorrow. And of course, the planned time of the launch is 6pm. What the organisers are saying is that plans for the opening ceremony are under review in light of the predicted weather conditions. They say that the safety of the public is of their utmost priority. The organisers will have updates following a meeting with the relevant authorities tomorrow morning, and they remain confident that the opening ceremony will go ahead tomorrow. So that is the official word from 2020. Yesterday, Arena was in Galway to meet organisers and artists involved in Galway 2020. The creative director of Galway 2020, Helen Marriage, and the poet Louis de Puer, who has been tasked by 2020 to write a declaration as a focal piece of the opening ceremony, came into the Galway studio. I first asked Louis what brief he was given for the composition of this declaration.
Well, I'd never been asked to do such a thing before, and I wasn't quite clear as to what a declaration might consist of. So I met with Marilyn and Helen.
This is Marilyn Gahan.
And I suppose I was a little daunted by what I was being asked to do, which was really to represent, I suppose, the kind of values that are at the centre of this programme, that it would be an address, I suppose, from Ireland to the world, but also something that would, on the one hand, be securely anchored in this particular place and time, but also connected to Ireland's history, culture, and at the same time address the key themes here that I think the word came back very early on from Europe, that what was required here by way of an artistic programme and enterprise was something beyond the mainstream or conservative approach to art, something that would confront the principal issues facing contemporary Europe, which is why migration is central to this. And that basically was the brief, and to do it in 4 minutes, if I could at all, in at least two and perhaps more languages.
So how did you set about doing it?
Well, I had a kind of an idea already as to what I might do, and without giving too much away, I wanted the human voice to be at the centre of this. I knew that there would be a lot of pyrotechnic display of one kind or another, and a lot of visual and aural excitement. And it seemed to me that the kind of drama of the human voice, unadorned, speaking and singing, should be at the centre of this. I've drawn on some very deep things in the Irish language going back to the 12th century and beyond, and brought that through and up to the present. And I suppose what I liked about all of this was, generally speaking, I would find myself perhaps not generally to be mainstream. And when I met with Helen first, I was quite happy to be told what you propose is not what we're looking for here at all. And I was delighted to discover that the ideas, the values, the principles that they wanted to be part of this declaration were exactly the values that I think should be upstage, up front and central in Irish arts generally, and I have to say, generally speaking, are not at the centre of the way we conduct ourselves in the arts in Ireland.
So we'll come back to that point in a moment. So Helen, that I'd say that's as much as we're going to get from Louis as to what's actually going to be, but it's going to be some poetic declaration. Then there's the pyrotechnics and the visuals. What can you tell us about that?
So it would be wrong to think that Louis' piece sits alone as a kind of island in whatever we do on Saturday. What we've composed is a through line from the very beginning for 47 or 50 minutes, which encompasses all those ideas, the ideas of language, landscape and migration, but very firmly rooted in this place, not only the city but the county as well, the idea that the people of Galway are speaking to the world, and that there's this moment when the focus of Europe is here. The whole programme, but particularly the opening event, is about what it means to be Galwegian, what it means to be Irish, and what it means to be European in these very troubled times. So we're looking at high values, we're looking at questions of identity, I guess. And Galway itself has such a complicated and interesting identity, particularly for me as a stranger here, where you have, you know, the concentration of Irish language speakers, but you also have a population that is 24% in the city, not from Ireland originally. So you have a multiplicity of languages spoken, a multiplicity of attitudes and perceptions. And we've tried to encompass all of that in the opening ceremony. And then, of course, there are pyrotechnics.
Yes, and the lodge is in the city, but it is a county event.
Yes.
So there's preparations. Where my colleague Sinead Egan was in Ballinasloe, and we'll be hearing her report shortly. But as we speak, in other towns around the county, there's preparations happening. And is that all going to come to Galway City?
So it was tremendously important to me when I came here, when I was creating this event, that it wasn't just about the city, because Galway presents this very interesting challenge of urban and rural, you know, the countryside and the city itself. And the designation from Europe is for both county and city. So from the very early stages of planning for this, I was determined that we would start in the county. And we started in Clifton, population, I don't know, 1,200 or something. And we've moved on to different towns. So we've done six different towns every night of the week this week. And it's been absolutely mind-blowing to see almost the whole population of wherever we are coming out together in the dark, in the cold, to do this moment of, it's like a fire ceremony, if you like, with drummers and chanters who are drawn from that population, who are centre stage in the middle of the towns, and they're really animating the place. And I think making people feel that this is not something that somebody else is doing to other people, but it's made by people from those places for those people.
Now, Louis, in the preparation of the declaration, and I think in generally, you've been thinking a lot about arts practice in Ireland and a lot of the thinking behind it, whether we're putting more emphasis on form or what the subject matter should be or the whole philosophy of art. What have been your thoughts about that?
I suppose it's not really restricted to the arts. It's in education, it's in broadcasting. There's this idea that rather than being citizens of a state or members of a society or a community, we are taxpayers and we live in an economy. And the idea that the arts are required to have some kind of economic rationale or impact is something that's perhaps necessary up to a point, but beyond that point is completely inimical to the kind of critical function of the arts. And I think that has had a very detrimental effect on arts practice and practitioners in recent years in Ireland.
In what way?
Well, it's not so long ago that we all got very touchy about James Kelman rebuking Irish writers generally for not really confronting power. I think that the critical function of the arts generally in Ireland, we do several things quite well. One is finger wagging at the past is perfectly fine. Okay. It replaces flag waving in relation to the past. That's one thing we do. Another thing is that we engage in formal experiment, a kind of verbal extravagance and exuberance that is an alternative to a realistic engagement with what's actually happening in the world. And the other thing is to privatise dissent, to see on the stage or on a canvas or whatever somebody who is actually disturbed by what's going on in the world, but to make it a private act rather than a public one. I was very taken with the fact that perhaps the first event of Galway 2020 was the opening of an exhibition by John Behan, one of Ireland's most established artists, who way, way back established the famine ship as one of the key artistic representations of our extraordinary troubled history, and has now in his, you know, John is in his mid-80s, I think, and he has rediscovered the possibility of that powerful image as a response to the present crisis in the world, the convulsion caused by wars in Africa and elsewhere leading to migration. And I think that's a lead for all of us. And I think this state was brought into existence by people who believed in the critical, creative, transformative possibility of the arts. I think we need to resurrect that idea, and I think it's central to the programme that Helen and others have put together here.
Helen, as creative director, it's your job to go out and curate these wonderful projects. But in the background, there is still the controversy about, really, is there enough funding to get the project through? So when you're going out and trying to do, you know, make a contract with somebody like Ai Weiwei, the Chinese artist who's supposed to be coming to Galway 2020, is that you're putting your hand behind your back in terms of not being sure how financially secure the project is?
We're really confident that we can make the financial targets, but obviously it's had a bumpy start, this project, and that bumpiness, I suppose, continues. It would be great to have certainty, but I've never done a job where anybody has ever said to me, do this and here's the cheque that will pay for all of it. We are always in a situation as creative people where you're trying to find the money to make the thing as beautiful and as extraordinary and as challenging and appealing as it can be. So we negotiate in good faith. We're negotiating in good faith with the city council, as we have done with the county council, about programme that is additional to the original bid book projects. And we're really confident that we can make this work.
And do you think that it'll be the city council? I know the meeting where they were to give the further funding over 2 million has been postponed until later this month. Are you confident it'll come from there, or do you think commercial monies can still be raised?
We have a huge fundraising team who are employed right through to January next year. So they are working flat out to secure that income from wherever it might be. And we're in negotiations both with the City Council, but also with corporate sponsors, other statutory bodies, international funding partners. There's a whole matrix, if you like, of people who we're approaching to see how the projects that we're doing might fit with their aims and objectives.
Louis, as well as Galway 2020, looking at these pillar themes. It's also the role of the city or county capital of culture to look out to Europe and the world and try and transmit, is it messages or artistic principles out to the world? What would you hope might come out of Galway 2020?
I think that's a really good question, and I think there's a double element to it. We need to work out ourselves what it is we have to say, what our position in the world is. I think it's quite a long time since there has been any real engagement in Ireland beyond the individual level as to who and what and where we are now in the world, what we represent. And before we decide how we represent ourselves elsewhere, we need to work out what it is we would wish to be represented by. In 2010, I was asked to speak at the World Expo in Shanghai at the Irish exhibit there. And having come through, it was a heat wave, a quarter of a million people coming through this exhibit every day in the middle of Shanghai. And the first question each group asked me when they came out, I was to give a talk, was not where is Ireland, but what is Ireland? Because the exhibition gave them no sense at all of who or what we were. And I think we kind of lost our way for a time. In that particular exhibition, there was an absolute refusal to engage with Irish history, to engage with the rural, to engage with language. It was all about the extent to which we were an economy, that it was everything was to be centred in Dublin and we were open for business and it wasn't working. So I think there's perhaps a process of rediscovery here before then we would have the gall to tell the world who or what it is we are and why they might be interested in hearing what we have to say.
Yes, Helen, because when you look at the programme, I mean, the language is so strong, as are the other themes you said of migration and also trying to give a place to the immigrant population. Was that in the bid book or was that something you had to harness and encourage?
I think that the bid book is the centrepiece of the programme. 70% of the programme was done before I got here and was shaped around those themes. That's what won the bid. There was always a determination that there would be an additional element of programme that was not necessarily originated from Galway, but was artists coming in and reflecting on what they saw here. So we had that double perspective. And that's what I've tried to complement the bid book programme by interleaving it, if you like, with those additional external elements. So when you look at some of the projects that are incoming, they very often are artists who are working. They're not just parachuting in and disappearing the next day, but they're working with communities, encouraging projects that require some degree of participation, like the opening ceremony, perhaps not on that scale, but that individual people, perhaps those who are easiest to ignore and are often alienated from traditional arts practice, wouldn't never buy a ticket to a theatre, wouldn't come to a concert or whatever. But we're trying to reach out to them and say, not only can you see this, but you can be in it, you can shape it. This can be part of your life, part of your new experience. So a lot of the international programme is working with artists who want to come here, reside here and work with communities. So that's a very interesting sort of aspect. And we're hoping by doing that to really broaden the reach so that people across the county and city feel that this is their project. And that, of course, it attracts huge numbers of visitors. We know there are lots of people coming in for this weekend. And through the year, there'll be tons of people coming for things to see. But for me, what's as important as supporting the artists is to support the audience, the public, so that they have access to the extraordinary imagination that artists have. In my view, the artists are the prophets of the future. They show us the land that we would love to live in. And it just takes us all, the rest of us, a while to get there. But if you can put that in front of people, then they begin to understand who they are in response to those ideas and who we all share the planet with.
Now, the plans sound fantastic and the programme reads so well, but it is Galway and Galway is used to so much. They run so many fantastic festivals. Mm-hmm. There's Coort, then there's the amazing FLA, the film FLA, and then Galway Arts Festival, which has spectacle and street and participation. Is it a hard audience to please, the Galwegian audience?
Yeah, really hard, because they're like the most sophisticated people in the world. But so the challenge is to both to support those existing organisations to do something different, to do something more, to change the way they're working. So the brilliant John Gerard piece that GIAF are commissioning is not their normal kind of thing, but it will be amazing, this mirrored pavilion sitting in the city and then out in the bog. So it's a dual role, really, is to support people to do more. But it's also, as I was saying, to reach audiences who don't come to that, you know, who would never go to Druid, who would never perhaps, I mean, everyone would go to a Magnus parade, obviously. But I really want the public here to be the broadest that it can be. And so the challenge is to find the things that aren't normal, that aren't being done, and that can appeal to people who, and then get them to reflect. So if you're doing, you know, Carrie Kohler out in the mountains, I haven't met a person yet who doesn't say, I want to go and see that light thing. You know, getting them in there is complicated and the roads are tiny and we're having to run shuttle buses and the logistics around that are huge. But who wants to be the person who the next day says, oh, I missed it, I stayed in and watched the telly? I don't think that's how it's going to be. I think that people are really going to want to see these unique and unorthodox things that are transformative.
And Louis, how important are festivals like the Galway Arts Festival or Coort or a Magnus Parade in terms of inspiring ordinary people maybe to find their own artistic self or creative self?
I think there's a danger in success, and I think when you discover an audience, it's very difficult to turn your back on an audience. And I think one of the possibilities during this year might be that any possibility of complacency about the success of the festivals that you've just mentioned and others, that might be shaken a little bit. I think that, again, there is a need for the critical function of the arts to reassert itself. I'm not sure that always trying to please and seduce audiences is the best thing possible. You shouldn't gratuitously offend or keep them away either. But I think there is a degree of courage at the centre of this programme that I think is commendable and deserves a kind of a response and should liberate people into a new way of thinking about the arts.
Could you give a few examples there of projects that you think would succeed in that area?
Laurie Anderson, I've been an admirer of Laurie Anderson for nearly forever. What an extraordinary thing that she might be here. But looking at what Branner Theatre is doing out at Galway Airport.
Yes, we'll be talking to them shortly.
Cara Conway's project, extraordinary. I've watched Cara's work develop. One of the challenges for a curator is to have the door open in both directions at all times, that good ideas must always be allowed enter the room. I'm not sure always in the arts that they're allowed to enter without an accountant accompanying them. And if the accountants were to be left outside the door, I think that would be a very good thing.
Well, my thanks to Helen Marriage and Louis Dupuy.